Welcome to the Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Tanya Wilson.
So for the first time in a long while, I started to retrace my steps and really think about my roots. Because I have immigrant roots that stretch all the way from the shores of Jamaica to the cane fields of Florida. My mother and I are from Kingston, Jamaica. And I found out from my mom several years before that my grandfather had traveled to Florida in the 1940s. It was Papa David Clark. He had a 40-acre farm in the Manchester area in Jamaica. So he was a rural farmer. And I didn't know this. He had traveled as a part of the farm workers program. And back then, America was going through World War II, and the president at the time, Roosevelt, had issued a state of emergency. And there was actually a labor shortage in the agricultural sector. So they were recruiting folks from Jamaica and from the Bahamas. So my grandfather, being an avid farmer, decided that he would respond to the call. So he boarded a ship from Jamaica and traveled to Florida. I'd never even been to the big city, and here he was taking a boat across the Atlantic to go to the United States. So that was a huge feat on his part. And he described the experience as being grueling. You know, it was hot and it was humid, and the waters were rough across the Atlantic Ocean. And for him, you know, it was such an unusual experience to be traveling by boat for so many hours and for that long trek across the ocean. But he said the most frightening part for him was that there was a fighter jet hovering over from the time they left the port in Jamaica all the way to Florida. Because at the time, because they were at war, we were in the midst of World War II, at the time, Florida itself was always an area that was open for attack. And they actually had German vessels at the time that had bombed several American vessels off the coast of Florida. So it was a very dangerous route for them to have traveled. And here was my grandfather in the midst of that travel. And when he made it here to Florida, he was actually located to a farm in central Florida, the cane field of central Florida. And he said the hours were very long. You know, the pay was minimal, and he worked and toiled, he said, at the end of most days. His fingers were all blistered, and it was just a very difficult and trying experience for him. And, you know, the thing that he missed most was his family. You know, he was here alone. He was isolated. So at the end of 6 months, he decided that he would return home to Jamaica and just had a new appreciation. You know, he shared with his wife at the time, my grandmother, how much he appreciated the freedoms of being in Jamaica and being a man and being responsible for his own business, being a farmer, and really just having the presence of his family around, because he faced so much discrimination here at the time. As a grown man, he felt like he was treated like a child, you know? So for him going home, he decided that, you know, he wouldn't return, but he was grateful for the funds that he had earned at the time. You know, and I wondered, thinking back at his story, linking to my roots here in Miami, how he must have felt standing in the cane fields of Florida, wondering, you know, what his life would be worth and wondering if it was even worth it to leave his family behind. And I don't know if he really understood how he connected to the international stage, the fact that he was brought here as a farm worker to fill the gap at a time that there was a labor shortage, at a time that the American agricultural economy was fragile and was on the brink of collapse, and they needed farm workers, immigrants, to come in to sustain that economy. I don't know if my grandfather really understood that he played a part, even in a very indirect way, in the World War II efforts of the United States, that he made his mark in history. He helped to feed the nation at a time when the nation was at war. So that was very deep for me. And then my mother would travel 40 years later in the same pattern, where she was recruited as a registered nurse to work in Miami. She worked here with a hospital in Miami as a newborn ICU nurse, saving the lives of premature babies, 40 years after my grandfather, 40 years responding to a similar call, but in a different fashion as a service worker, as a registered nurse here in Miami. And then I would follow my mother 40 years later, where now I work as an urban planner in North Miami, supporting development and land use and helping to build the economy of South Florida. And I think about 80 years of a journey of an immigrant family. And, you know, my Miami story for me is so much deeper, and I realize that we're interconnected in so many ways as immigrants. You know, oftentimes you think you're coming here for economic reasons, but not realizing that you're becoming the fabric of a culture.
Tanya Wilson with a story that spans generations.
And tells us so much about, to use her word, the fabric of our nation and of our state.
That was really deep.
It really was. And, you know, I wasn't sure where she was going with it at first because we asked people to tell stories about themselves. And she was spending a lot of time on her grandfather. And then it reminded me, Karen, I said to myself, your specialty is family storytelling, and we are our family stories. And so as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking this is one of those family stories that really shows us our roots.
It's a fascinating part of history we don't hear about, having to recruit farm workers from the islands to work here in the United States during wartime.
And the sacrifice that they made. Now, certainly they thought that they were getting something out of this, too. But she mentions the grueling trip that he took.
The prejudice he experienced here.
And the discrimination, right, that he experienced here, being treated like a child. Undoubtedly, he was called boy, and undoubtedly, he was talked down to. And back in Jamaica, he had his 40-acre farm. So he really was somebody in Jamaica. And we see this a lot with immigrants. I see this among my students, that they come to this country and people don't know who they are. They don't know their names. They don't know their family past. They have to start again without that family history that people around them know. And it just reminds us how important our families are and people's knowing our families is.
Well, after that first experience in America by her grandfather, I would have a pretty bad taste in my mouth.
Well, it's interesting the way that the story is framed. The story isn't framed as we were in dire economic straits. The story was framed as there was a call put out, first for farmers, then for nurses. So like most stories, it just depends how it's told. Yes, I'm sure that if they were going to lose money or lose opportunities, they may not have answered the call from America. So I'm not saying it was totally altruistic. There is a symbiosis going on here. There is a tit for tat, so to speak, that the immigrants are gaining something, but the country is also very much gaining something from these people.
And back in the 1940s, we don't realize that there were U-boats in the Florida waters.
I remember doing an oral history from somebody in Boca Raton who is now no longer with us, who grew up in Boca, and was talking about how people would take turns to sit out on the beach and look for the boats. But I never heard about the fighter jets. And that was really interesting. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Look, the campus of FAU's in Boca was where they developed radar. We were very much a part of the war. It makes perfect sense, but I just never heard it. And that detail about being in the farm in Central Florida and having those jets overhead is pretty scary.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a South Florida story they would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Email me at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at F as in Frank, A-U.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at WLRN.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Mike. I'll see you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.